Hey, what's up? Andrew Kramer here, and welcome to another very exciting tutorial. Today, we're going to be taking a look at creating dynamic shadows with Particular. So what that means is our particle systems will now cast shadows onto a surface. So let's take a look at a few different examples. So here we have some futuristic balls flying through the streets of New York City, as is common in that state. So let's go ahead and hit play. All right, see that? Camera guy's like, hey, let's take a closer look. Yep, future balls. Always a problem. So you can see the shadows actually are moving with the balls, and the balls that are closer to the ground, might be hard to see here, but we've got a few other examples, will actually make a darker shadow as compared to the balls that are further away, which will make a much softer shadow. So if we take a look at this example here, we can see, let's play through here. If you look at the shadow, say, under this dropping ball, it actually is soft. So it's kind of an interesting effect that hopefully will give you some more creative possibilities with the particle system. We've got a couple other examples here. We've got this smoke shadow. This one's pretty interesting. So we've got the smoke. So what's interesting is that the shadow is darker as the particles get closer to the ground. And if we take a look at the particles without the background, you can really see how this shadow is affecting the surface. Let's see if we have any other examples to take a look at. Here's another example using a different particle sprite. This one happens to be the green balls from the movie The Rock, and I think it's called VX Poison Gas. So same kind of thing, we just swapped it out for a different particle type, and as Nicolas Cage would say, the moment you stop respecting this, it kills you. Not necessarily, but in that movie, I think it made sense. And then here we have another example. And I want to talk about this because the difference with this particle system is that it actually uses about 2 million particles per frame. But in this case, when you have so many particles in each frame, it actually was easier just to duplicate the render and then lay it down on its side and give it a little blur. So this is kind of a simple technique of creating a shadow. And we're going to take a look at a more advanced method. And by the way, for this example with the particles flying around, and it actually kind of goes to the music, you can actually check out the blog, scroll down, and you can actually download the project file, and also have just a little bit of information on how it was created, but feel free to download it and check it out. Now, you might be wondering, why do I use so many examples with white walls? Well, I had this problem over the weekend, and I had to go to this facility where they put you in this room that's all white and it's kind of padded, and they put you in this like special jacket, which really makes you stand up straight, which is good, I guess. I don't always have good posture, but it's also difficult to use your hands. They said I was a danger to myself and others, and they were like watching me with video cameras, and I think they were tracking me. So I had this tracking system in my arm, and I was trying to dig it out, but you know, they came in to stop me because I was using a pin to kind of dig it out. But anyway, I was finally able to escape, so I was able to make this tutorial. Oh, by the way, the place, I think it was called Chuck E. Cheese's. All right, so here we are in After Effects, and we're going to take a look at this example with the particle sprites, and we can take a look at just the shadows that it is creating, and we're going to attempt to recreate this. Now, before we get moving, let me get a quick drink. It's always important to stay hydrated. As artists, we sometimes forget. We get really busy and gotta stay hydrated, especially if you're an athlete that does motion graphics. Very important. Although in my case, I'm mostly just an athlete. Basketball, actually. I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty good. I'm like a white Larry Bird. Anyways, let's go and get started. We're gonna come over here, create a new composition, and we'll do 960 by 540, 24 frames per second. That's half HD resolution, by the way. And we'll go ahead and just make it 10 seconds. We'll hit OK. And we're gonna go into the footage here. we're going to take this New York background and we'll hit transform, fit to comp. And then we're going to add a floor layer just so that we can have a representation for where the shadows are going to be cast. So we'll create a new solid and we'll call this grid. And we'll hit OK. We're going to make it a 3D layer. So hit F4. We're going to make it a 3D layer. And we'll take the rotate tool and we'll rotate it on the X axis so that it's nice and flat. And if you hold down Shift, it will snap. Then we're going to create a new camera. And I'm pretty sure it's a pretty wide lens, so we'll do a 24 millimeter and we'll hit OK. And then we can just move our camera around. So we'll just drag and let's add the grid effect to our grid. So generate grid. And this is just going to help us align this with our actual live action footage. So if we just kind of move it around. Okay, so that looks pretty good. Next, what I want to do is create our particle system. So we'll choose layer, new solid, and we'll call this particular. Hit OK. And then we're going to choose effect, trap code, particular. And we're actually going to be using particular 2. And right away, we just have a bunch of particles. Now, to emit the particles, we're going to use a light. So we'll create a new light. And we'll call this emitter with a capital E so that it gets referenced. And we'll hit OK. Then we'll go into particular. We'll go into the emitter settings and we'll change the emitter type from point to the light. So now when we move the light around, it'll move the particles around. So what I'm going to do is move the light up a bit and then push it into Z space so it's kind of coming down the street. Then I'll hit P, and that brings up the position for the emitter. And let's see here. We'll set a keyframe. We'll move forward, 4 seconds or so, and we'll animate this forward. Maybe just push it over a little bit. And then we'll go into the particular settings, and let's turn the velocity down to about 5. Let's just turn it down all the way. And we'll turn the velocity randomness down. And the velocity for motion, let's set that to about 5. And that way the particles sort of move forward with the motion. Now, I also want to turn up the emitter size. And maybe turn down the Z size. Now, the particles are dying a little bit early. So we're going to go ahead into the life settings for the particle. And we'll set it to 20 seconds or so. That way they'll just stay on mostly forever. Now, we also want the particles to have a little bit of movement to them. So let's come down here to the physics. And we could go into the air settings here. By the way, if you want the particles to bounce, like in the other example, you can change this from air to bounce. And then we can come down here to the bounce settings. Set up the floor layer to be your grid and then turn up the gravity, and then you can control the bounce and some random settings and also some slide. So that's helpful. Going back to air, because we want to just give it some turbulence, not like the movie turbulence, but something actually that's good. We're going to turn up the effect position just a little bit, and so that we just see the particles moving a bit. Now they're wobbling a little bit much because of the evolution speed, so we'll set that down to about 10. So I think that looks pretty good. Okay, so instead of using the white balls for the particles, I want to use a pre-rendered element that I created earlier in a 3D program. So it's called Green Ball, it's about 100 frames, and let's just bring it out. And then we're going to pre-compose it, so we'll choose Layer Pre-compose, and we'll leave all the attributes, and we'll hit OK. And we'll open it up, and I think there's actually a couple of frames that don't animate, so we'll start it at frame 2, we'll hit B, that brings the work area over, we'll go to the end, and move one frame before the end, we'll hit N, that brings the work area there. And then we'll right-click, trim to comp, so now it should loop perfectly. So just this little rotation ball. I mean, I could show you how to do it. Okay, I will. I'll show you how to make that ball in 3D Max. It's like the easiest thing you'll ever do. First, you make a sphere. Give it a bunch of segments, like 64. Convert it to an editable poly. Go into the edit poly. Basically, just delete a bunch of pieces. Maybe the bottom. And do the same thing from like the left side also. And so then the mesh looks like that. And then just go into the modifier and add the shell modifier, which may not be on the list because my screen gets run off, but it's called shell, like a seashell. And then it kind of creates volume. And then you can use a beveled edge. So I've made this bevel edge. Click on that. And then you've got some interesting things there. And we'll just throw on a quick material. Pretty much all there is to it. Oh, by the way, to create that line, you just take the line tool and just create yourself a... There you go. Okay, moving on. So back to After Effects. So we'll go ahead and close this textured ball. And we'll shut it off. And then when we go into the particular settings, we can actually set that to be the particle type. So we'll move forward here. And we'll scroll down to the particle rollout. And we'll change it from a sphere to a sprite. And then we have to go to the texture, set the layer to be our green ball. Now, it does warn us that the layer is a bit large. So we'll just ignore it. Now, we can turn up the size here. Now, instead of sampling the current time, let's change it to random still frame. And that way, each particle will just take on a still frame from some point in time. You can also do random loop, since the particle does loop. I just thought it was a little bit too much having them all kind of spinning. So random still frame looks pretty good. I may actually turn down the particles per second to maybe to 20. So that looks a little bit more reasonable. And instead of having green particles, I just want them to be white. So we're going to tint them and maybe even add a curves adjustment just to give it a little more contrast. Now, I want to make sure the particles get nice and close to the surface. So what I'm going to do is change this from active camera to the front view, and that way we can see the particles from the front. And then we can go into the particle settings, particular, and turn up the size of our emitter. So as we turn this up, we'll actually create particles that get a little closer to our ground plane, which is right here. Now we want to be careful that they don't go through it, just for the sake of handling that. But it'd be nice if they get kind of close. Okay, so looks pretty good. We'll go back to the active camera, and here we have these balls sort of floating by. And one other fun thing that you can play with is the random seed. So as you change that, you just get a sort of different looking system, and it's kind of fun. I want to go into the size of the particle and maybe turn it up, or better yet, turn up the randomness a bit. So they're not all exactly the same size. Now, here's another cool thing that's part of Particular 2. So if I jump over to the Smoke City example, you can actually see there's some nice shading in this clump of particles that's a little bit different than the rest. Now, in Particular 2, there's a cool feature that creates sort of self-shadows for the particles, almost like an ambient occlusion based on the density of these particles. So what that can create is some darker areas and some cloud-like effects. So the one thing that I've done differently here, as opposed to an earlier tutorial called Smoke Trails that you can check out to create this exact same smoke. In fact, I used the exact same element from the downloadable project file. And this is the same smoke. The only thing I've done differently is I've gone down to the particle settings, and we want to go down to the shading tab. Now, there's an option here for shadows for main particles. And when we turn that on, it creates the nice, you know, inner shadows. But if we shut that off, then we have just, a nice look, but certainly not as good as with the shadows on. So if we turn those on, we can then come down here to the shadow settings and play around with some of these. So we could turn this up and, you know, it just kind of creates different looks. And we could turn up the size and it turns black and now we have the Dementors, or we could turn it down and it's some other movie with lighter colored particles. So the point is you can control the look and hopefully kind of get the result you're looking for. So that is one thing I wanted to make sure to mention. So now back in the main example, even though there's not as many particles, I think it'll look pretty cool if we turn on the self shadow. So we come down here to shading, we'll turn on the shadow lit for the main particles, turn it on, and we're probably gonna wanna play with some of the settings. So we'll turn the opacity down. And to be honest, I haven't even played with this very much. So I think we're just gonna kind of tweak some of the settings here and just kind of see what we can come up with. Kind of interesting how this works, but maybe just give it a little bit of adjust size. I assume that's like the size of the radius, maybe. And it just gives it a nice look. So these are nice and white, and the particles in this cluster are a little darker. So pretty cool. All right, let's just take a quick look at where we're at now. And basically the particles are just floating by. Now, another thing we can do to give it a little bit more life is add some rotation. So if we come in here, we'll set the rotation over to the left. Now, if you go too much, the lighting that's built into the sprite won't work. So we actually just want to do a little bit, slide it over to the left, and then we're going to turn the rotation speed up to maybe 0.02. And that way, by the time it gets to that position, it will still be upright. So right now we're working in comp 2. So we'll hit that, we'll type particle city. And then we'll duplicate that. And we'll change this from particle city to particle city shadow. And now is the part you've been waiting for. We'll double click on that. And now we have the particle city shadow comp. So what I'm gonna do is create a new camera, and we'll hit OK, and we're also going to create a null object. Now I'm going to hit F4, we're going to make that null object 3D, and then we're going to take our camera and parent it to that null object. Now we're going to delete our old camera, and then we're going to take the null object, hit R. Now we're going to rotate the camera, so instead of looking at the particles, we're actually going to move the camera up above, so we're looking down on the particles. So we want to just change the X rotation here to about negative 90. So now we're perfectly right above the particles. Now we can shut off our background layer, and if we go into particular, we can make a few quick adjustments. First, we don't need to use the sprite because it just takes longer to render. We'll just set it to a sphere. Now it looks like the spheres are a little bit large, so we'll go ahead, bring that down just a little bit, and then we'll scroll down to the shading tab and shut the shadows for the main particles to off, and that'll make it also go a little bit faster. Now one other quick step is we need to take our camera and maybe the track Z camera tool and pull it really, really, really far out. We want to come way out into space. And then we'll take the camera, hit AA, and we're going to zoom the camera back in as close as we can get. And this will sort of create an orthographic type of view, kind of like the top front views that are built into After Effects and other 3D programs. So this is the basic idea for the shadows. Now before we get into a couple of the other steps, let's move back to our Particle City comp. We'll go to our project. And what I want to do is bring the Particle City shadow into my project, and I actually want to put it exactly in the same place as our grid floor. So I'll just duplicate the floor, edit, duplicate, and then take our particle city shadow comp, hold down Alt, and let it go when I bring it into the comp. and that will replace the item with that item. I'm just going to delete the grid effect, and we'll just turn the eye switch on. So now we have some shadows, and they actually animate just like our comp. However, we need to make sure our shadows line up with our particles. So we'll change this to the top view, and here we have our two things. We have our city shadows, and then we have our particles. Now, if I hit AA, I can turn the accept lights to off. So the basic idea here is to line up our shadow particles with our actual particles. So if we just kind of place them over here, maybe see a few less. One thing we can do is take the pan behind tool and move the shadow so that, say, this top left particle lines up pretty close. And then we'll take the pan behind tool, move it to that position. And then if we scale this up, it will scale around that position and we can get the other particles to line up. So that looks pretty good. And as we move forward, let's just make sure they still line up. So if we kind of shut this on and off, you can see it's looking pretty good. So then we'll go back to the active camera. Looks like we need a little bit more space. Now we can extend the size of the composition for our shadows, or simply we can just zoom out because we don't need it to be that high quality. So we'll just zoom out a little bit further so that it's in this space, and maybe even just move it over here so we use up all of the comp space. And we'll come back in here and we'll do a quick alignment. We'll go back to the top view and we'll just move these over. We'll align that top left particle. And then we'll scale this comp until the particles line up again. So, pretty good. Okay, back to active camera, and there's our shadows. Now, instead of white, let's actually make them black. So we'll go color correction, use the tint effect, and we'll just tint it black. And there we have some decent looking shadows. Okay, so that looks pretty good, but we can make it look even better by turning on the depth of field for the camera. So here's how we're gonna do that. First, I wanna take our grid layer, which is our ground plane, and I'm gonna hit P. And then I'm gonna take the camera, I'm gonna hit AA. That brings up our camera settings. Then I'm gonna hold down Shift and P. So I bring up the position of those two things. And what I wanna do is set the focus distance to that ground plane. And a simple way to do that is to Alt-click on the focus distance, type length, parentheses, then pick whip the camera's position, comma, and then pick whip the layer's position. And what that says is, what is the length between the camera and that floor layer? And when we click away, it is about 4,100. And that's exactly what we want to do, so that when we turn on our depth of field, the particles that are close to that ground will actually be hard, and the particles further away will basically be out of focus. So we can turn the blur level up and the aperture up, and just really want to crank this up a lot. And this is sort of the result that you get. So now if we go back to the particle city comp, we can see some variation in the particle density. We can also duplicate this, add a quick blur, and maybe lower the opacity of that, and just create a more softer looking shadow. And I think that's just something you can kind of play with. All right, now it gets even better. If we take our particular layer and we go down to the visibility settings, we can actually play around with how our particles render in terms of the distance from the camera. So basically what this is for is, so if particles get too far away from the camera, say more than 20,000 pixels away, they'll simply fade off from about 19,000 pixels. Same with particles getting too close to the camera, they'll start fading away at about 10 pixels and be completely gone at about 1 pixel. So I've made a quick graph to illustrate what the purpose of this is and how we can benefit from it for using shadows. All right, here we have a simple graph. It's a side view of our scene. We have our camera up in space looking down. We have our floor plane, and then we have our patch of particles. Now, the near vanish value is set to 1. So that's right at the camera lens. And then we have the near start fade, and that's when the particles become completely opaque. So for example, if I were to take the particles and move them closer to the camera, they would essentially start fading away as they get close to the camera. So it would be something like this, where they fade away until they reach this blue area. So what we want to do is change the start fade to be closer to the floor plane and the near vanish to be right at the top of our particle cloud. So what that will do is make it so that the particles at the top of the cloud are faded and the particles closer to the surface are darker, just like a shadow, where the shadows, as it gets closer to the surface, it gets darker, and the ones that are further away don't really cast a shadow or are too far away and it's much softer. So this is what we're going to try to do really quick. So I hope that's been helpful. Okay, so back in After Effects, we know the camera is 4,190 pixels away from the ground plane. So if we go to Particular, we can click into the visibility settings. We say near start fade, and we'll set that to 4,190. So that's set up to be the ground plane. And if we look at our example here, the red, the end of the red, is the ground plane. So then we want to change the near vanish point that used to be where the camera is and move it down closer to where the particles are. So we simply want to turn the near vanish value up to something close to 4,100. And as I do that, notice right here, the particles start to fade away. So we're looking at different layers. So right here, these are the particles that are only close to the surface. So if we were to go back into our example here and maybe just put a layer between it, only the particles that are close to the ground are even creating a shadow because we've limited the visibility range to only those particles. But if we open that up just a little bit more, we can see more particles, but they're simply a little bit lighter. So if we look at the example now, there's more shadows, but they're not as intense. So then we can start playing around with the amount of depth of field and, you know, tweaking the near vanish point. So we can turn it up higher or lower and just create a really interesting looking shadow that looks pretty realistic. So this is the idea, mixing those two concepts together, and you should be able to create shadows for any scenario. Real quick, I'll do some color correction, maybe with a curves adjustment. Go to the red channel here. We'll just give it a little contrast. And the blue channel, we'll just crank this down a little bit. Maybe some contrast here. So my shadow looks a little dark now with the color correction, so we'll just adjust it afterwards so that we don't kill all of that detail. And I say that looks pretty good. So now a couple other just practical notes. So what happens if I change the look of, or what happens if I change where my emitter is, for example? So, you know, if I take this emitter and maybe I move it up so the particles fly up towards the end. Well, I can, you know, one solution is just to take this emitter, go into the shadow comp, delete that emitter, and then paste the new one. So now look at this, it's all soft right here, a little bit harder right here. So that pretty much solves that problem. We can tweak some of the settings and get that right. What else? What if I change the look of my particles? So let's say in my particles I want to maybe make this a larger area. So we'll turn up the spread here and maybe the particles per second up to maybe 40, you know, something pretty dense. Well, there's two things that you can do here. If you just change one setting or two settings, then you can just go back in here. So we change it to 40 and we change the X and Y value. So you could just come back in here to Particular, change this up to 40, and then punch in those two numbers that you've changed. Or if you make some serious changes, just take the layer, copy it, go in here, just delete the layer, paste it, and it's pretty easy to set up. All you have to do is go in here, change it to a sphere. We also turn the size down to about 20. And then we turned off the shading. So just a couple things that, and we also tweaked the visibility settings, which you don't necessarily need to do. But you just go in there, make a couple of changes, and everything is back in business, and you've got this amazing thing. And again, if I want to change my, you know, where my particle emitter is going, maybe I want it to be something like that, we'll copy it, we'll delete this one, we'll paste it, and you know, it's just a matter of managing two separate comps that are linking the same thing. Obviously, you could use expressions to link together common values that you are constantly using, and then those values could be, you know, linked from one comp to another comp. You know, I think it's just a matter of what project you're working on, and that'll dictate what is the best solution for you. So, I mean, look how amazing this looks. We just use one particle sprite with that awesome feature in particular too for the shading, and now we have some nice shadows that really brings this image to life. It's definitely a lot of fun. As always, be sure to check out the website. We've got a ton of great tutorials and different things to check out. For that smoke example, you know, you can check out the smoke trails tutorial, and then for the light on the street, I used a technique similar to 93 light casting. So, you know, they look similar, but, you know, they sort of focus on a specific technique. And so you can kind of combine different ideas and different techniques to get the results that you're after. And as I quickly plug our great products, obviously, we really appreciate everyone who comes and supports the site. We've got this optical flares lens flare tool that's pretty amazing. And, you know, if you feel like supporting the site, check it out. We think you'll love it. And there's just a ton of different things that you can do to just add that next level of quality to your project. So I'm Andrew Kramer, and we'll see you next time.